this Samaritan's Purse monthly shoebox donations going on now through the month of September. There's a basket out into the foyer there where you can put your donations. It says grab a supply list from the table. It says also remember that you can set up automatic donations from the website or the mobile app. Just search for Give Plus Church in the App Store or Google Play. And the offering that we took up for any Armstrong Easter offering, the total was $1,185. We thank God for that. And they're collecting personal hygiene items throughout the month of May for Samaritan's Purse shoe boxes. Please donate to that also. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Most Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for a beautiful Lord's Day that you've given to us, Lord. Lord, we just thank you, dear God, for another opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, to hear your word preached. Lord, we need to hear from you today. I just pray, dear God, that you bless Brother Brian as he stands to proclaim your word. Lord, I just pray for each and every family that's lost loved ones. We pray for all those that are sick today, Lord, that cannot be here. Lord, we pray for those too that are watching on Facebook, and those are out in the parking lot. Mm-hmm. And Lord, I just thank you myself for being able to come back into church. You blessed me, Lord, with 9 months with the privilege of taking care of my mom. Lord, I just thank you so much for that. Yes. Lord, only you know our hearts. You know what we need. We need a touch from you this day, Lord. I just pray, dear God, as Brother Brian stands today, hiding behind the cross, Lord. But most of all, if there's one here that knows you not as personal Savior, Lord, I just pray that they won't walk out that door, Lord, before they give their heart to you this day. Lord, I just pray that you lead, guide us in a way that be pleasing to you. Lord, also bring us back this evening, Lord, at your next appointed time. Forgive us, dear God, of our many faults and failures. For it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
We're
in
the book of Luke 18 this morning. Luke 18.
If everyone take a hymnal and turn to page 132, we're going to be singing together, There is Power in the Blood.
Thank you. Bible verses for this next song, Cry Out to Jesus. It's from Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Come to me, all you are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
To everyone who's lost someone they love, long before it was their time, you feel like the days you had were not enough when you said goodbye. And to all of the people with burdens and pains keeping you back from your life, you believe that there's nothing and there is no one who can make it right. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out. For the marriage that's struggling just to hang on, they've lost all of their faith and love, and they've done all they can to make it right again. Still, it's not enough. For the ones who can't break the addictions and chains, you try to give up, but you come back again. Just remember that you're not alone in your shame and your suffering. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, He'll meet you wherever you are. Cry out. Just reach out, you just cry out to Jesus, cry to Jesus. To the widow who suffers from being alone, wiping the tears from her eyes. For the children around the world without a home, say a prayer tonight. If there is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and not for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, He'll meet you wherever you are. There is hope for the helpless, rest for the weary, and love for the broken heart. There is grace and forgiveness, mercy and healing, to meet you wherever you are. Cry out to Jesus. Cry out to Jesus.
see you today. Ain't it a beautiful day? My goodness, it's gorgeous out there. We might want to have service out there on purpose just because we can. Now, if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to the book of Luke, chapter 18. Luke, chapter 18. It is good to be behind the pulpit. Very rarely do I go 2 weeks without preaching. No, any services as you turn to Luke chapter 18. Some are saying, well, you preached Wednesday night. Yeah, but I didn't get to finish it. So we just stopped on it. But no, our hearts do go out to Brother Bobby's family, and we are thankful for his testimony. We're thankful for the legacy that he leaves behind, just like Sister June. And praise the Lord, they're reunited, but more importantly, he has looked upon faith has become sight. Isn't that awesome? Faith has become sight. It doesn't make those that are learning to live in a new reality any easier, but it does give them strength as they go on. As far as I know, we will be doing the service here. We're waiting to find out about the times and all that, but we'll do our best to let you know on that. Luke chapter 18. Again, for those of you that's watching by Facebook, those of you that's listening in the parking lot, it's good to be with you again. I find it a privilege and an honor to be able to tell you that nobody loves you like Jesus. Nobody's done so much for you as Jesus. And if you'll let him today, he'll do even greater things than you can ever imagine. And that, like the song just said, I don't know where you're at, but praise God, he does. And you can cry out to him. As you're turning to Luke, I guess it's been, oh my goodness, it's been going on 10 or 11 years ago now. My father had triple bypass surgery. It was a service to him, I promise you that. But the same morning that he ended up, Amy's grandfather had a blockage on both of his that come out your heart, the ventricles that come out your heart. And so it was a really kind of rough time there. And I was driving back from St. Vincent's in Jacksonville, going through Hoboken, Georgia. And that was the song that came on. And talk about having church and feeling the power of the Holy Spirit just grabbing hold of you and letting you know everything's going to be all right. That was it. That was the song. So it's very special to me. Do we have any words of praise or testimony this morning? I praise the Lord that I can walk and that, Lord willing, I'll have more movement in my ankle after I get outside of this boot. I'm thankful for Brother Ralph. I'm thankful for Brother Wayne and Brother Paul that were able to fill in for me. And I'm thankful for each and every one of you that sent texts, phone calls, cards, and all that helped support me. And I'm also thankful for my three nurses. They're the best nurses in the world. Even my nurse got me a brand new phone when I dropped mine in the water. So there's an easier way to get new phones, though. Don't drop them in the bathtub. All righty. If I had a title for this morning's message, and believe you me, I always say usually before I get up here, the Spirit's already talked to me and he's already kindly whipped me. This is one of those that he has. Basically, I've been thinking about and working on this sermon for probably 2 weeks, and it's amazing how the Lord really, the closer it come to the time, the more the whipping became clear and where my failures were at and where my faults were at and how all I am is a sinner saved by grace, and but by the grace of God, there go I. There go I. So if I had a title for this morning's message, I ask you to stand. We'll be in Luke chapter 19, beginning in verse 9. It would be the religious one and the tax collector. The religious leader and the tax collector. Luke chapter 18, beginning in verse 9. And he, meaning Jesus, spake this parable unto certain people which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. Two men went up to the temple to pray, the one being a Pharisee and the other being a publican. The Pharisee, he is the religious leader or the religious one, and the Pharisee is just another name for a Jewish tax collector. Verse 11. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For everyone that exalts themselves shall be abased, but he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. You may be seated as we go to the Lord in a word of prayer. The religious one and the tax collector. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you this morning thankful, God, that you're in control. I'm thankful, Lord, that you don't do things the way that I do want things done. I'm thankful, Lord, that you do all things well. And Lord, even in the times where we're confused, when we're hurting, when we don't know what's going on, we can rest on the promises that, one, you do all things well, and two, Heavenly Father, Lord, you've got a plan for our lives. And so, God, today again, I thank you for the blood, and I confess that I'm a sinner, and I plead the blood of Jesus. I invite you, Holy Spirit, to come and take control of this service. I pray over the sound system. I pray over the Facebook. I pray over the airwaves and all ways that we're trying to allow your gospel to go forth. We rebuke Satan. We rebuke the enemy. We ask, Heavenly Father, Lord, that through the blood you hold him back and that you encamp your angels around this place today. And God, we pray even now that the Spirit of God begin to convict, to bring healing, to bring hope. And Heavenly Father, Lord, most of all, that the Holy Ghost will bring conviction and salvation. And it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen and amen. It is good to see all of you today. I am so thankful. This is my most favorite day of the week. Now, most of you know that I have a specific fondness for the parables that Christ taught. And as I studied this week, Brother Paul has been good enough to get me a five-book set of the sermons of Charles Spurgeon. And as I was reading behind Spurgeon this week, this is what he said. Fables may be employed to set forth that which is earthbound, such as Aesop's fables. You've heard of those, and they either make a joke or they imply some type of proverb. But he goes on to say, but a proverb which is in itself true is alone adapted to set forth the truths of God. Now, that's what I believe. I couldn't have said it that pretty, but that's what I believe. I believe that in the parables that Christ taught, there are things that we can learn and that we can know that we could not learn in any other way. And in fact, if you remember, when the apostles asked Christ, why do you teach in parables? He says, because it will reveal some things to certain people, but to others it will be hidden from them. And here's, according to John MacArthur, I had no idea about this morning. But, oh boy, that's going to make me mad. If you are listening, it means the microphone that's on my head. According to John MacArthur's Bible study, there are somewhere between 38 and 40 different parables that overlap within the Gospels. Did any of you think that there was up to 40 parables in the Gospels? Me neither. John is this unique one because there are no parables in the book of John. In Matthew, there are 9 parables. Matthew has 20 or so. I would have thought Matthew had the most parables in it. But Luke has almost around 27 proverbs in that book. Matter of fact, the passage, chapter 18 here, begins with 2 parables back to back. So, with so many recorded, it's no wonder that Spurgeon felt the way he felt about parables. He goes on to say that Christ had nothing to teach but what was pure truth. He illustrated it by truth and never went into the realm of fiction or invented a tale or told a story that was not fact. Much less did he ever teach in mere fables. Isn't that awesome? And so it is with that heart and that desire that today I want us to be looking at a widely known parable. How many of you have heard the parable of the Pharisee and the publican before? How many of you have ever heard a message on it? See, that's where I'm at. I've looked through three of my Bibles this week, and in two of them, I didn't even have a mark anywhere around from verses 9 through 14. And then in another one, I had it bracketed where it looked like I'd heard somebody preach from it or teach from it before, but I myself have never. And really, it seems to be kindly a simple parable, doesn't it? Pharisee bad, publican good, be like the publican, amen, let's go to the house, right? But really, I think there's a lot that's in it that we can miss if we're not careful. Plus, there's things that God showed me, and there's the first two you're going to get for free, okay? There's things that God showed me that I'd never seen before. The first things first, I believe it's pretty clear. I think it's very simple, but I believe oftentimes we miss it. Look in verse 9. It says, and he, who is he? Jesus, amen, the one telling the parable. And Jesus spake the parable unto certain people which trusted in themselves that they were righteous and despised others. The Christian Standard puts it this way. Jesus also told this parable to some who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and looked down on everyone else. So what does it say? Does it say that Jesus spoke a parable about people who thought they were righteous? No, it says that he spoke this parable to people who thought they were righteous. Jesus did not go around. It was not a regular thing. Matter of fact, I never know of it that Jesus went around behind other people's backs and would begin to say, you know old so-and-so, he's a hypocrite. You know old so-and-so, they're a hypocrite. Matter of fact, he did the exact opposite. If you look over in Matthew chapter 23, Jesus Christ speaks directly to the scribes or the Old Testament experts, and he speaks to the Pharisees, which was the largest, what we would call, Jewish denomination of that time. And in the passage, he says, woe unto you scribes and Pharisees, meaning grief or dread be upon you scribes and Pharisees. And then he goes the way that they're acting like a Pharisee or a hypocrite, and he looks them straight in their face, and he calls them a hypocrite. Now, I'm going to tell you what, I've said before, and I'll say it again. There is no church, there is no hurt like hurt, church hurt, and a lot of it comes from the fact that we will not deal with issues with our brothers and sisters, and we will not deal with issues, even with lost people, in the way that the Bible commands us to deal with them, and that's to look them in the eye and to tell them, we've got a misunderstanding, or I feel like you've done me in the wrong way. Even with the parable of the vine, the parable of the vineyard owner, where the workers in the parable kill the master's servants, and then the master sends the son, and they kill the sons, and they say, now the vineyard would be ours. Listen to what the Bible says about the listeners. In Luke 20:19, then the scribes and the chief priests looked for a way to get their hands on him that very hour, because they knew he had told this parable against them, but they feared what the people would do. You know, the Bible talks about how the tongue, the wagging tongue or the gossiping mouth causes so much problems. In Proverbs 16:28, it says, a tongue stirs up conflict and gossip tears apart the greatest of friends. Can I tell you this, and I've told you this before, I'm blown away at what God has done at Thomas Village Baptist Church during the time of the COVID, how He has blessed, how we've got people that want to join, we've got people that need to be baptized. God has blessed us financially, but I'll tell you this, I still believe our best days are ahead of us, but one thing that can stop us is tongues and backbiting and gossiping one unto another. One unto another. I want to ask you today, what were you looking for when you came to church today? What were you thinking about? Who were you thinking about? Were you thinking that sorry preacher? Were you thinking them deacons need to be doing this? Or were you truly expecting, like Brother Keith asked, were you coming to be blessed today? Were you coming to see Jesus high and lifted up? Were you coming to give Him maybe not much, but everything that I have, Christ Jesus? It's yours today. Praise God. Not even in the parable, but we see in the life of Jesus. See, isn't that very easily missed? How many of you have ever heard this parable and have noticed that Jesus was willing to deal with issues looking people straight in their face? Isn't that awesome? That's awesome. You see, the Bible says this, Galatians 6:1, brothers, if someone is caught in any wrongdoing, you who are spiritual. Notice he didn't say the religious ones or the ones that's been a part of the church for so long. He says, no, you who are spiritual, restore such a person with a gentle spirit, watching out for yourselves so you won't be tempted. Amen. The next thing, and this ain't a sermon yet, but just something for you to think about. Another thing that we look at here as we look at the, look here in verse 10. It says, two men went up to the temple to pray. And then it says, the Pharisee and the publican. Now, what we've got to remember is that we have to keep the biblical passages in their correct content. Amen? Meaning that the passage before and the passage after it has to link together with what we're studying. You see, when you cherry pick a verse and make it mean what you want it to mean, you cause a lot of confusion in yourself and in other folks. But look right here, it says, we know that in Luke 18:9-14, Jesus is speaking directly to who? The Pharisees. He's those who thought that they were righteous and they looked down on other people. But if you go back to Luke 18:1-8, it ought to be very familiar though. To those of you that's been watching our Facebook services on Sunday night, it's the parable of the persistent widow. The parable, you remember this one, it says the widow woman, she was basically didn't have anybody to fight for, and so she said someone, the adversary, had done her wrong. And so what she did was she went to the king. Well, this king was not a just king, and he really didn't care for the people that were underneath him or that watched out for him. But she went to him and she asked for the king. She said, King, will you provide me justice? And every day she would go back and she would ask the king, King, will you give me justice? And it says at first that the king would not help the widow. He wouldn't do anything for the widow because he was a wicked man and he didn't care for the people. But after a while, after her continuing to pester him, he got to thinking, even though I do not fear God and I don't respect man, yet because this woman keeps pestering me, I will give her justice. Just so she'll stop pestering me. I'm going to give her what she asked for. And Jesus ends the parable by saying this, verse 6-8. He says, listen to what the unjust king said. Will not God grant justice to His chosen ones who cry out to Him day and night? He will delay help. Will He delay helping them? I tell you that He will grant them justice. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth? Or in other words, as we studied, this was back in January 3rd of this year. What we saw was that as imitators of Christ, we are people of faith. Amen? And if we are people of faith, if we are those that imitate Christ, then we are going to be a people of prayer. It is blowing my mind. God is answering prayers every day, all around. And I'm telling you what, I'm just having a good time watching it. I talked to Brother Keith. He had an answered prayer in his life. A friend of mine, Hancock County, had two prayers answered. And you'd say they're not big things like a fever breaking. Or praise God, that's an answered prayer. I pray for it. God heard it. And praise God, He answered my cry. But I want you to notice this. We've missed out a lot on gathering together in the past year and a few months. And I know, you know, Matthew tells us that whenever you pray, you're to go into your prayer closets, you're to hide, and what you pray in secret, God will reward you openly. Amen. He says, don't stand up and make big promotional prayers and all that kind of stuff. But I'll tell you something else. He said, my house shall be called a house of prayer. Psalms 5:7, it says, but I will enter in your house by the abundance of your faith. I will bow down toward your holy temple in reverence and awe of you. Think about Hannah over in the book of Samuel. First time we see her, it says that she's weeping so bitterly and crying out for the Lord that Eli went to her and asked her, was she drunk? She said, no, I'm just asking for a son. And remember, she promised to him. She said, I'll give you Eli as my son, as your servant. Praise God. She come back and she prays. Mary and Joseph in Luke chapter 2, on 8 days after, they took Jesus out so that he could be dedicated to the Lord and that they could make a sacrifice for them. They met two people there. One was named Simeon, a devout man. And when he met Jesus, he started praising and giving thanks to God for the answer of prayers. Then he met a prophetess who was a widow named Anna. And what did Anna do? Anna stopped and she began to pray and to praise God. I'm telling you, in Luke chapter 24, verse 53, after Jesus Christ ascended, they didn't quite know what to do. The Bible says, Luke 24:53, the last verse in Luke, it says, and we were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. I'm telling you what today, folks. This is a place that we are to pray. This is not just simply steps to get up here on the podium. They're not just a prop for wedding photos. They're not just a place for flowers to be put, but it's where the people of God are to bow down publicly before God, and they're to let the world know that they're not ashamed and answer prayers. And I'm going to tell you something, and you get mad with me if you want to, but if you're a member of Thomas Village Baptist Church and you've never been a knee at this altar, then you're being disobedient to God. Bottom line, you say, he ain't never led me to. Why does he have to lead you to pray? You're a member of this church. Oh, I know some of you is mad on that one now. I failed it. Boom, it hit me right when it was over with. But it's true. It's true. And you know what? The more we pray, the more prayers will be answered. And the closer we'll get to those greatest of days. Together with Jesus, he also raised up and seated in the house so that the coming ages, that he might display the immeasurable riches of his grace through his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. I know that this isn't literally what it meant, but if you notice it, what did it say? It said two men went up to the temple to pray. Do you know that Jerusalem is the highest city in Israel? And then on Mount Moriah, on the top of that, what's set there? The beautiful temple of Solomon. And it was so white and gorgeous that it just shined. The Bible teaches us, and I know it doesn't physically happen yet, but it says that Jesus has lifted us up into heavenly realms. Praise God. When we go down on our knees, he lifts us up into a heavenly place, and we are before the Creator of all things. Isn't that awesome? Who wouldn't want to pray on the altar? I'll be honest with you. Through all the stuff, I've not been up here praying as much as I should. I've been in my office. I've prayed in my office. But I promise you this, I ain't prayed as much as I do when I make a purpose to come into this room and to get down and to pray. Usually I start on my knees, but I get up walking because I'm just that type of guy. I got to keep moving. All right, now you ready for the message? No, but I want you to notice this. You say, Brian, that's not a part of the parable. It's what we should learn when we're reading the things. We're not just to skip over what we already know and to go right into it, because really and truly, I've never seen those two things before. How's our prayer life here at Thomas Village as a church? I think we're a praying church. I do. I really do. And I think God answers our prayers. But see, when you see more prayers be answered, then you want to pray more. You know what I mean? Man, he's answering these prayers. I want to pray some more. But let's look. Let's look at this. In this passage, look at verse 10 as we talk about the religious one and the tax collector. Look what it says in verse 10. Two men went up to a temple to pray, the one being a Pharisee and the other a publican. There are basically what we have here is it's a very simple put together parable. There's only two types of people. You know, there are many different sayings about there are two types of people. I'm sure you've heard some of them. There are two types of people in the world. Those that wake up and say, good morning, Lord, and those that say, good Lord, it's morning. There's two types of people in the world. Those that give and those that take. Those that take eat better, but those that give sleep better. There are two types of people in the world. Those that make excuses and those that get things done. This was probably my favorite. There are two types of people in the world. Those who think there are only two types of people in the world and those who know the difference. And you know, that's really the truth, because all of us, I hate that old term snowflake, you know, that's one of those things. But really and truly, isn't it awesome? Every one of us have been made in the image of God, but every one of us is different. Even to our fingerprints. None of us have the same fingerprints. But for the day's service and eternity, really, there's only going to be two types of people. And the day in the world that we live in, oh my goodness, how hard is it? And I can't say that it's a political tactic or anything like that. I believe it's a tactic of the enemy. I believe it's a tactic of Satan, that he's trying to separate us into places of us and them. Us and them. Us and them. Democrat, Republican. Pro-stimulus, anti-stimulus. I wasn't for it, but I am going to spend it. Amen? All right. Pro-choice, anti-abortion. Those that are pro-homosexuality and the transgender agenda, and then those that are for biblical morality and binary sexuality. Those that feel that free speech includes violence and public disorder. And those that believe there is free speech, but it also includes civil obedience and obeying the law. There's no mask and maskers. There's vacciners and non-vacciners. You see, it's us and them. Us and them. And it's a tool of the Satan. All of us have been created in the image of God. Jesus died for whosoever. Listen, there's two people. One is the Pharisee, the religious one. And you know what? We give this Pharisee, and really, because the Pharisees that are focused on in the gospel, they are bad people. I mean, their whole goal was out to kill Jesus. But actually, the Pharisees were probably the closest group of that time to what we would call as Christians today. They believed in the resurrection. Don't get me wrong, they rejected the Messiah. I mean, and in that, they're off. But they believed in God. They followed the same moral commandments and held them sacred as we do. They wanted, this is awesome, they wanted the population to have their hands on the Scripture and not just a certain few. That was a part of the Reformation. That was a part of why we left the Catholic Church, was because we believed that God wanted the Bible in everyone's hands. They believed and they taught that one should live a moral life and that there was a standard. But they also felt like that you had to live up to that standard to be able to be saved. And then there's the publican, the other one, one of two, the tax collector. Now, he was a Jew that had made a deal with the Roman government to collect taxes from his fellow Jews. Like any career, I'm sure that there were honest tax collectors, but most of them had a bad name. And if I say IRS is coming to see you, you don't get out the fine china, do you? Exactly. Usually, the one that the Roman government chose was the individual that promised to give them the most return. It seems that they were paid very good by the Roman government, but many of them charged extremely high taxes so that they could personally skim some off the top and still be able to give the government what they had told them that they would give them. And if you didn't pay, they had friends with certain skills that would come and see you, and next time you would probably pay more promptly, Brother Roy. Meaning that they were basically extortionists when it came down to it. So just like the list, Republicans from Democrats to vacciners to non-vacciners, we see in this passage the idea of two distinctly different people in the eyes of the world. In the eyes of the world. But the Bible teaches us that God looks upon the heart. And today, God knows the heart you walked in here with. He knows why you're here today. Look, the first part, verses 11 through 12. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I'm not like other men, extortionists, unjust, adulterers, or even this publican. I fast twice a week, and I give tithes of all that I possess. Let's look what he does good, because he wants us to know what he did good. In the Old Testament, the fasting was a part of feast, festival, and holy days. Like on the Day of Atonement or like on the Passover day, they would fast because it was generally the idea was you weaken the flesh so that the spirit would be stronger so that you would be able to meet with the Lord, confess, and it was a part of contrition and getting right with the Lord. But now, the Pharisees had got to the point that they wanted to be so pious that they fasted, and according to LigonierMinistries.com, they fasted every Monday and every Thursday. So they and remember Jesus said, you know, don't make it known that you're fasting. But while the Pharisees, the one we study, they did it, and they wanted others for them to know. Why? Because they wanted them to be seen as good religious folks. Notice what else he says. He says, I give tithes of all that I possess. Well, the law stated that you were to give a tithe of 10% of what passed underneath your staff. Basically, what your income was, what you were able to bring in. But this Pharisee said, no, I'm going to tithe on that. I'm going to tithe on everything else. I don't know what he did. Maybe when he went and bought groceries, he bought 10% more and said, here, Hope Center, you can have the other 10%. Or maybe he just went out and when he bought clothes, he bought an extra outfit and took it to somebody else. But somehow, some way, not only did he fast 2 times a week, but he was also able to give above and beyond what everybody else could give. You know what? If we're looking at ourselves, that man's looking pretty doggone good, ain't he? But then look what he says. He says, thank God I'm not an extortioner. Extortioner means a vicious swindler. Greedy, willing to do whatever needs to be done to get more money. He said, thank God that you didn't make me like other men. Unjust. That means unrighteous, wicked, or basically a sinful unbeliever. Then he said, thank God I'm not an adulterer, meaning that I'm not sexually immoral, that I'm not having physical relationships with someone who is married. And then, I mean, just to add it all off, just to put the cherry on the top, he said, thank God I'm not like the tax man. Thank God I'm not like the publican. You see, the way that this Pharisee begins his prayer, or the way he prays, reveals the attitude, and it shows what's on his heart. He is a prideful, upright person. Listen what he prays. He says, God, I just want to thank you for not making me like everybody else. Thank you, God, I'm not a sinner. I mean, look at all the good things I do. And then see how I've never done the big sins. I mean, hey, at least, Lord, thank God you never let me get caught doing the big sins. Huh? None of us here, no one listening or anyone watching by Facebook, we would never be like this guy, right? We're like, thank God I ain't like the Pharisee. Whoa. If that's the thought in your head, you're a lot like the Pharisee. I want you to close your eyes for just a second. Forget about the religious guy, forget about the tax collector, okay? And just think and examine your heart as I read these. Republican, Democrat, pro-stimulus, anti-stimulus, anti-abortion, pro-abortion, pro-homosexual and transgender, pro-biblical morality, pro-violence and unrest as free speech, pro-civil obedience and peaceful protest, pro-mask, anti-mask, pro-vaccine, no vaccine. Now open your eyes. Have you ever thought about those groups? Now, don't raise your hand, but have you ever thought, I thank God I ain't like them. You see, my wife talks to me a lot about my tone and even my children. I won't be mad, but they'll say, your tone says you're mad. But you know what I've noticed a lot? The tone of many of us who say we're Christian It's getting difficult to tell that we hate the sin, but we really love the sinner. It's getting hard. It's getting difficult. There's an old saying that says, "But by the grace of God, there go I." That's not in the Bible, but there's a verse similar to it. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. "But by God's grace, I am what I am." Do you realize that the very ones that he said, "Thank God I'm not like," is the one that Jesus won over to salvation by loving them? I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, "Preacher, you're getting liberal." No, I ain't changed my stance on none of my beliefs. Sin's sin. But I can't act a sinner to act like a saint. And you know what? When we think about them, we think that they're the problem. If we could get rid of them. Don't you think that he probably thought that if we could get rid of these tax collectors, Jerusalem would be a whole lot better? But you know what Jesus said the problem is? He says the salt lost its savor. You know what he said? He said the light has been covered up by personal cares and personal desires. See how I got my whipping? Because see, I've had to pray this week, "Lord, teach me how to hate the sin, but to truly love the sinner." Because you said it's by that love that they're going to know that I'm your child. And speaking meanly and harshly and condemning them will not lead them to Christ. They already hate us. They already think we're antiquated. You know what? This is what stood out to me. He didn't pray to God. Jesus says in the parable, thus he prayed to himself. He had a back patting session. "Good me. Thank you, God, that I'm able to give this, and you made me like that." And you know what else? He wanted the others to hear it. And I truly believe, and you can take this for what it's worth, it's me using spiritual gumption, I believe he wanted the tax collector to hear him say, "Thank God I ain't like him." I believe it. But then there's another heart, right? Because see, for one point of view, there's always the opposite. And Jesus looks on the heart. "And the publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes to heaven." But look, he says, smote himself on the breast. I mean, you think about it. He's down. He wouldn't look up. Looks like almost a defeated position as you read it. And he prayed a simple prayer. "God, have mercy on me, a sinner." You know what? I don't think he was even paying attention to the religious man. I don't think he was paying attention. You know who he was focused on? He was focused on his inadequacies in the light and the glory of God. What would have happened? What would happen today if we just right now, we didn't care about what anybody else was doing in this place, that all we wanted was to be in the light of Christ Jesus, see Him high and lifted up, and deal with the issues that's in our life? He beat on his chest. That's a sign of mourning, sign of contrition. Another word is a sign of repentance. And then he simply said, oh, so simple, but oh, so powerful. And I believe it's proof to what I've said all along. It's not what you pray. It is the heart that you pray it with. "Have mercy on me, a sinner." And then there's verse 14. If you was a shouting people, this is where you're going to shout, all right? Listen to what it says. "I tell you, this man, the publican, went down to his house justified rather than the other, the Pharisee. For one For everyone who exalts themselves, meaning everyone that elevates themselves to a special position. When we compare ourselves to others and we see them and the things they're doing lower than who we are, what are we doing? We're elevating ourselves. You see, there's only one type of person. I was going to save this to the end, but there's only one type of person in all this world, and that's a sinner that has fallen by the grace of God and is worthy of hell. That's the only person that they are. And then there's the other type, and that's the type who has received the mercy and grace of Jesus Christ and have bowed down and submitted to Him on this side of glory. Whoever exalts himself, whoever puts himself in an elevated position, they shall be abased, meaning that God will cause them to be a place of humility and literally humiliation or embarrassment. Every knee shall bow. Every tongue shall confess. How embarrassed do you think Satan's going to be that day? Woo! When his knee hits the ground. He who thought he could lift himself up as high as our Creator. But he that humbled himself shall be exalted. I texted with Daddy. I do it every Sunday morning. He texts me and I text him back. And I text him back what my scripture. About 2 hours later, he says, one went down justified, the other just went down. One went down justified. Listen to what justified means. Okay? This man who was broken. And you know what he could have used then? He could have used somebody to love on him at that time. He could have used somebody to come around him and draw him down. And you notice it says he stood far off from the altar. Or he stood far off. What it means, he's standing up far off from the holies of holies. The place where the veil that was 6 to 8 inches thick with the presence of God. And only one time a year was the priest allowed to go in there. Everybody else, it seemed like they were kind of gathered up around that place. But this guy was one of those back row Baptists. I'm going to fall over and break the other leg. Is what's going to happen. But he was on the back row, but he wasn't paying attention to nobody else. It was just him and the Lord. Dear Lord, God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You know what today? It don't matter what anybody else in this world thinks about you. Jesus loves you. And it doesn't matter what you pray, how you pray it. It's the heart you pray it with. And today you can be justified. Now in the legal sense, the word justified means absolved. Legally set free from the obligation and the guilt. But in the biblical sense, hold on, son. Hold on, listen. It means to immediately come under the blood of Jesus Christ along with His death, burial, and resurrection. And in that moment, you are eternally set free from all sin and the punishment of that sin, death, hell, and eternal separation, both now, forever, being in right standing with your Creator, having His mercy, grace, and favor eternally upon you. In that moment, He was justified. And from that point on into all of eternity, the favor and the mercy of God was on him. And you know what, Christian, today, I don't care how you feel, the favor of God is on you. The mercy of God is upon you. Sinner, you may be feel like you may have done things that God, hey, He's seen everything you've done. And He still loves you. And you know what? One prayer, and everything will change. Everything will change. See, it don't matter how religious you are. It don't matter the title you hold. It's the heart that lies within you. Sister, if you would come and get ready for our prayer time. Remember the old saying, there's two types of people. Those that think there's only two types of people and those that know better. That's true, but on Judgment Day, truly, there is going to be just two types of people. One that have surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ and those that have not. And He will say to those that do know Him, well done, thy good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in a little. Now enter into the blessings of your Lord. And to those that don't know Him, even though they may be religious, even though they might have all the trappings of the Pharisees, He'll say, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, because I never knew you. Don't leave here today Well, I was talking with somebody the other day. At the beginning of the conversation, I asked him, I said, have you ever been saved? You know that churchy word. I said, have you ever been saved? Yeah, I've been saved. And then at the end, I tried to do slick like them psychologists do. I asked them the same question in a different form. If you died today, do you think you'd go to heaven? Their response was different. I sure like to think I would. They didn't accept Christ that day, but I'm still holding out that they are. And maybe they already have and just hadn't told me. Today, Romans 10:13 says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't say pray this prayer that way or do this that way. It just simply says call upon the name of the Lord. How did the publican do it? Have mercy on me, a sinner. Maybe you're a lot like me. You're saved. You know you're saved. There's no question about it. But as I prepare for this lesson, I seen some pharisaical ways and attitudes in my heart. And this is the prayer I prayed. Heavenly Father, Lord, in my humanity, in my weakness and in my sinfulness, I found myself hating the sinner and not hating the sin. Please forgive me and teach me what it means to love the sinner. Teach me how to love the sinner and hate the sin. The altar's always open here. And if the Lord's dealing with you on that, you come forward. Maybe today you need to publicly declare your salvation. You've been saved before, but you've never just got forward and just said, hey, I'm saved, I'm His, He's mine for all of eternity. You know what? He says, if you'll declare me before men, then I'll declare you before my Father, which is in heaven. Maybe today you need to be baptized. Maybe you were baptized before you were saved. You know what I mean? Because it's called believer salvation or believer's baptism. Maybe today it's time for you and your family to become a part of Thomas Billings Baptist Church. Because I think the gears are really revving. And we ain't going to be long. We're going to take off. And God's going to do something awesome. And just believe some of you got parts in that. But you know what else? God could be dealing with you something that I ain't even talking about today. You know that? He can do that. He's awesome like that. But whatever it is, as the song said, cry out to Jesus. Amen. Let's pray as we stand. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that You still convict. I'm thankful, Heavenly Father, Lord, that You still deal with us even after we're years, even after we think that we are so mature in the Lord and that we've got all these things together. I'm thankful, Lord, that You still answer in prayers. So God, You have Your will and Your way in Thomas Village. Not just right now, but every day. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Won't you come? People are coming today. People are coming. Find your spot. Make that spot on the altar your spot. It's okay if other people use it. But if you get there before them, they got to find somewhere else. Amen? You know what? There's not a doubt in my mind that many a person shed a tear on an altar for my salvation. They probably did it for yours, didn't they? There's an old song. I ain't even going to say it. But who's shedding the tears for this generation? Whose heart is broken for our society? You say, you're shaming us, preacher. No, I'm not shaming you. That's what this, remember that old song? That's what this altar is for. You don't have to carry those burdens anymore. Oh, hallelujah. God's working in our church. I believe it 100%. And I can't wait to see what He's going to do. His wonderful face and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His. parents, I think a lot of us could use the things of this world just to grow dim for a little while. And just let Him be Him. Amen. Any words of testimony? If you need to be seated, go ahead and just sit down. Go ahead and just sit down. People still praying? We're going to let them pray. Any words of testimony? Any thoughts this morning? Thank you for your attentiveness. Thank you for being there. I really thought I was going to keep you until 12:30. I really did. Because I gave you two messages in one. I tried to slip it in there. Yeah, Brother Kent. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Brother Kent. Anyone else? Answer prayer. Answer prayer. Last Sunday, we were staying. We sure wasn't looking for that last Friday, Saturday, or Sunday, was we? Amen. Answer the prayers. Anyone else? Amen. That's just a prayer we're going to see answered later on. He's working on it right now. Anyone else? Do pray for Brother Bobby Lee's, Brother Jesse's family. Lift them up. Pray for them. Celebrate the impact He had in your life, in their life, all that He's done. And then stop and look around. I promise you, as you're leaving today, you'll see answered prayers as you look in the faces of your brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen. Brother Keith, would you come and close us out in a word of prayer?
For this opportunity, Lord, to be in your house, we just thank you for the beautiful day that you've given unto us. We thank you for the message, Lord, that Brian has preached this morning. I just pray we apply it to our lives and live closer to you. Now, be with each and every one as they leave this house today, Lord. I pray that you give them traveling mercies. Bring us back at your next appointed time. For it's these things we ask in your precious holy name. Amen.
Church tonight.